20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you, as always, for being here. Thank you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine 365 days a year. We have you covered every single day when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. If you're not checking out all the other stuff that's going on, our daily episodes on the audio podcast, Andrew Murtag and Kyle Fellows with their On the Clock series, Jacob Morley going through the most likely Packers picks, Ross Uglum breaking down prospects every day, we have got you covered, and I've got a great episode for you today as well. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews whenever you can. A couple quick reminders, actually just one quick reminder, Timber Rattlers game this Thursday. If you're in the Wisconsin area, get to Appleton, get to that Timber Rattlers game. The link to the tickets is in the description of all the shows today, and you get your ticket to the game, plus a live NFL draft Q&A ahead of the Timber Rattlers game with not only me, but Aaron Nagler as well. We're going to be answering your questions, and then we're both going to be throwing out the first pitch. Aaron's going to be doing the Brotzooka. Yes, a bazooka that shoots brats into the crowd. I got to do it last year. Aaron's going to do it this year. It's going to be a blast, so make sure to get out to that Timber Rattlers game this coming Thursday, tomorrow, as you're listening to this. It is going to be a blast, not just the bazooka firing brats, but the entirety of the event. So make sure, again, to check that out. Shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Duncan Brown. Duncan, thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Let's get to some news and notes from Tuesday. First of all, we got an update sort of-ish about Jaire Alexander. A couple noteworthy pieces in here from Tom Silverstein over on PackersNews.com, JS Online, etc. The first thing he mentions in the article, and just make sure to go check it out, by the way, but according to two league sources, the Packers have received interest in a trade and remain committed to waiting for a deal rather than cutting him. The next thing was, a source said the Packers appeared close to making a deal at the start of free agency. However, compensation and Alexander's unwillingness to restructure the contract are huge reasons why he has not been traded as of yet. There was also some interest at the combine, but teams seem willing to wait for Green Bay to cut Jaire Alexander. That's where we stand right now. It's worth checking out the entirety of the article, for sure. My overarching takeaway here is that there's no real update. There's no new. The news is that there was some trade interest. That is good to know, that there was some trade interest, that Jaire has maybe had his own way of thinking about this. More on that in just a moment. And that teams are just expecting Green Bay to cut Jaire. I saw a couple different things where it's like, well, Green Bay remains committed to keeping Jaire if they can't find a trade. I don't necessarily agree with that. That's not what I got between the lines. And sort of if you read Rob Domofsky's tweet as well, I think he's sort of the same way of like, he's been sort of trying to say this thing. And, you know, I get it's a really, you know, touchy topic for people. I'm not entirely sure why. I get that there is a lot at stake here. This is one of the better players on the team when he's healthy. He's not healthy. We know the entire situation. We've gone over it a ton here on the show, and it's been in the ether out in Packers land through the entirety of this offseason. But to me, this is still very much that the Packers are holding out that they can get something in return for him. They have no deadline or any need to do it anytime in the near future. And they'll take as long as they need to try to recoup something from this experience, from this potential trade, rather than just releasing him right now. And I think that's where it stands. And we know that Goody is often going to play hardball in these situations. Now, the other interesting piece here, and we've kind of talked about this in the past as well, is that Jaire is not willing to restructure when he goes somewhere else, at least not with the situations he's been in so far. The best way to look at this, in all sincerity, is that Jaire Alexander has a no trade clause. He might say, well, that doesn't exist. That's not a thing. He doesn't have a no trade clause in his contract. He does not. However, if his contract, the $17 million that the team acquiring him would be taking on, is not palatable for any team out there, nobody wants him on that contract, he has a no trade clause. Because they cannot force him to restructure the deal. They cannot force him to take less money. He would have to restructure that contract with the new team that's acquiring him. So if Jair says to every team that is potentially going to acquire him, I'm not redoing my deal. If you trade for me, you are taking me on that contract. And that's what he and his agent say. And that contract is not one that 31 other teams want or desire to have. We're done here. It's over. There's no trade possibility at that point. It's take him on the contract that he's on, or Green Bay is going to have to deal with it. And if no team is willing to take on that contract, and Jair continues to say, yeah, I'm not restructuring, unless maybe there's a team or two he would consider doing it for. We don't know that. But he basically has that no trade clause. And for Jair and his agent, they may both want in this situation for Jair to be released and say, hey, we want to go to wherever we want to go to and get the biggest contract that we can get. We don't want to be limited to where you're going to trade us. And that makes sense. They are in their right to do so. And that's where you get into this messy situation, is I'm sure Green Bay would just like to trade him. It sounds like there's legitimate interest, whether or not the compensation is what Green Bay wants or not. It sounds like there's interest, but the fact that Jair is not willing to redo his deal on a new team basically makes him, you know, untradeable. And I think for me, you know, as you kind of look at this a little bit deeper, I don't know how this gets resolved. And again, I think the deadlines that we've talked about in the past, does Green Bay want something done before the draft? They don't need to, but if they do, well, then the deadline's coming up very soon. If they think they can maybe get something on day three of the draft when some team has not acquired a corner in the first three rounds or didn't hit a corner in the draft the way that they would have liked, either during day three or maybe right after the draft, that's a possibility. They could wait until, you know, some player goes down with an ACL or an Achilles injury and they try to trade him then. They're under no pressure here. But the longer this goes on, there probably is some angst and frustration. Then does Jair show up to offseason programs, mini camps, OTAs? Does he cause problems? Like, we've seen players, specifically more of like a James Harden sort of situation, but we've seen players do that. Oh, you're not going to, you know, cut me? All right, I'll show up to the things. You're not going to like it, but I'll show up. I'm going to probably cause some problems. And I'm not saying Jair would do that. I don't know, but you can have it go that way. And then Green Bay has to decide, all right, do we just bait here and go in a different direction? This has the ability to get uglier before it gets better. We'll see where it ends up. I just am still of the belief from day one up until now, I don't see a world in where Jair is back on this team. It's not entirely impossible. Crazier things have happened. I'm leaving open the door. As I've said before, I've done a full episode on why Green Bay could consider keeping him. I did the whole sort of devil's advocate thing. But if you're asking me to put all my chips in the middle of the table again, I do not think he's back in Green Bay. I think the contract's a huge reason why. And whether or not they can trade him remains to be seen. Fingers crossed. I would love to get something in return for him. If you're the Packers, you want anything you can get. We'll see. I hope so. I hope either they can get something worked out and he stays healthy. That, by the way, let me be the first to say, that is the best case scenario. I'm not saying just, you know, punt him out the door. Who cares about this guy? The best case scenario is that he comes back, stays healthy, and plays amazing. I just don't know how you bet on that, because he's never been healthy over the last 4 years. He's now going into a stage of his career that usually players are less healthy than they were previously. And the contract's an issue. There seems to be angst and frustration between the two parties. I just don't see it happening. But that's the best case scenario. So if it happens, I'm all for it. I just don't see it happening. Some other pieces of news and information. Tet McMillan in for a pre-draft visit. That one's interesting because they went to his pro day. Brian Gutekunst went to his pro day specifically. I think he was the only GM there. Would have thought that they would have kind of dotted their I's and crossed their T's already. So bringing him in for another visit is a very interesting piece here. But Tet McMillan in Green Bay on Tuesday to visit with the team. Also, no update on Isaiah Simmons. We talked about him yesterday about the potential of what he would bring to the team and if they signed him, yada, yada. But as of now, he is not a Green Bay Packer, at least as of recording this. Maybe that changes on Wednesday, but as of Tuesday, he did not sign with Green Bay. At least there were no reports of him signing with Green Bay. And with that, we get to our main topic for today, and that is draft trades. We spend a lot of time going over different prospects, different scenarios. We go over, you know, who Green Bay could pick, who Green Bay should pick, guys we like, guys we don't like, all those sort of things. But Of course, there's another option that happens at 23 as well, and that's that you don't pick at 23, that you trade up from 23 or that you trade down from 23 and you maneuver the draft board depending on how that draft board falls. I've talked about this on a couple live shows. I've talked about it on here as well, so I'll try to make this as brief as possible. But the truth of the matter is that the board will dictate what Green Bay needs to do from a trade up, stay, or trade down. That and finding trade partners, right? And for those who don't know, these trade talks happen ahead of the draft. I'm sure some have happened already. I am sure a lot more will pick up over the course of the next week. And you have sort of initial conversations with teams of saying, hey, if you want to move down and we want to move up, what kind of deal could we make here? And you have some ideas of like kind of parameters in place just in case of if you do need to get on the clock. Because remember, that first round is what, 10 minutes, I think, per pick? That goes incredibly fast. And if you are all of a sudden on the clock, you get on the clock, you get notice that, all right, you know, the guy that you wanted is no longer there and you need to trade out. Trying to figure out a deal in 10 minutes. I mean, just imagine, we've talked already for 11 minutes here. That the entire time that we've talked has already been more than the time that you're on the clock for a pick. So it flies by and you better have some of those deals in place or at least parameters in place where you can quickly discuss it. So we kind of know what the Rams want. Let's give them a call. Does this still work for you? All right, you want this, we want that. Okay, we got it. And now we can get that deal done. But those conversations are happening. But in large part, the board is going to dictate what sort of situation Green Bay's in, especially when you're picking at pick 23. My guess is Green Bay has somewhere between, I would say, 12 to 15 guys on their board that are maybe first round grades, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, but probably somewhere between maybe even 10 to 15. That's my guess, 10 to 16. They probably go through and you get to pick 15 and there's a few guys there and you get to pick 18 and there's still a couple guys there. And all of a sudden you get to pick 20 maybe, and there's one guy left. That's a first round grade. That's when you start calling to trade up of like, can we get up to get that guy that we still have a first round grade on? If there's one guy left when you're picking, it's easy. You just pick that guy. Or if there's two guys left when you're picking, it's probably easy. You pick one of those two guys, the guy that you have a higher grade or a better, just higher rated on your board, right? They may have the same grade, but the one that you have higher on your board. If you have no players left, well, then you're looking to trade down. And or if you have five guys left that are on your board that have the same grade and you can move back five picks, you can do so because you're guaranteed to get one of those guys. And now you can pick up some extra draft capital in the process as well. So I'm sure that Goody would love to get more draft picks. We've kind of heard him say it and like, you know, kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. I have 8 picks for now. I'm sure he wants more, but he's not going to have the guy on the board, like one first round grade left on his board at pick 23. Some team calls and says, hey, we got a fourth round pick for you. He's going to be like, okay. I want that extra pick. No, he's going to take his guy that's on the board. So the board's going to dictate it, not the desire for more picks, not the whatever. It's going to be dictated upon who's available, who they might need to move up for, or if the board does not fall their way, who they, you know, can potentially trade down with to accumulate more picks and then still get a player that's of the same value, even if they were to stay at 23. So it's all going to be dictated based on how everything falls leading up to pick 23. So they could move up, they could move down. Of course, they could stay put as well, but that's going to be dependent on how the draft falls. But what I love to do in this episode every year is we'll look at the trade value charts at the end of this as well. But I think what's a lot more telling is historical trades that have happened at pick 23 or right around pick 23. So we're going to go through. I went through the last decade, 2015 through 2024, and viewed any trades that were around 23 that could make sense for Green Bay. Then I went all the way back to the year 1998 and just saw if there was any other trades that were of interest around 23. There were a couple more in 2005, 2006 that we'll go over as well. But for the most part, I went through the last decade and detailed any trade that was around there that could make sense for Green Bay. Or just to kind of give you an idea of what kind of trades would, or what kind of value would be out there if Green Bay did trade. The first pick was one from last, or the first trade, I should say, was one from this past year in 2024. It was the 23rd overall pick plus a 7th rounder for the 42nd pick, a 6th round pick, and a future 2nd rounder. All right, let's just take the 6th and 7th swap out of this. It doesn't really matter. All right. What you're basically looking at here is a slight move up from the 7th to the 6th if we want to go that, but it's minor in the scheme of things. You're moving back 19 picks from pick 23 to 42 and picking up a future second round pick. All right. Who would potentially be looking to make a deal like that? Well, there's two teams. I mean, there could be a variety, right? But the two teams that maybe make a little bit more sense. How about the Saints at pick 40? Maybe they don't take a quarterback at pick 9, but maybe now pick 23 comes along, and whether it's maybe Shedeur Sanders is still on the board at 23, or maybe they want to get a jump on the other quarterbacks that are out there before any other team could jump up and take one. Maybe a Jalen Milroe, maybe somebody. Like, if that's the case, maybe that's a team that could come trading up to pick 23. The Saints have pick 40. So the Saints could theoretically trade pick 40 plus a future second round pick for pick 23. If you're Green Bay, that's worth considering. Now, moving down from 23 to 40 is a significant drop. You're moving out of the first round. You're moving not even into the beginning of the second round. You've got like, what, 7 picks in the second round? And then, you know, the plus side is that you pick up a future second rounder. And New Orleans is a team that's expected to be pretty bad. I mean, that pick could be 33 next year, but probably within the first like 38, 39th pick, somewhere in there. You're getting a top 40 pick probably next year to move back 19 spots this year. Or sorry, 17 spots this year. I don't know if Green Bay would have the appetite for that. It would probably be that all their first round grades are gone. But if they could get it and all their first round grades are gone and they feel like they can move to pick 42 and get similar value of what's there at 23, plus pick up a future second rounder that's likely to be a high second rounder next year and what's anticipated to be a better draft than this one, could be something that Green Bay considers. Another team around there, not exactly at pick 42 here, but the Giants pick at pick 34. They're another team that's likely to have some interest. Now, tougher to say that if you're going just from 23 to 34, just 11 spots down, if you could get a true second rounder, but it's probably the starting asking price if you're Green Bay. Now, you might need to give a little bit more. Maybe you have to give up a future fifth round pick and or something like that in order to make that deal work as well. But if I'm Green Bay and the Giants come calling from 34 to 23, I'm probably still asking for that future second round pick or something the equivalent of it. But that's one from last year that if the right situation presented itself, maybe there was a quarterback on the board, you could maybe get a future second to move down early into the second round. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol, and you're going to want to check this out. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but when hanging out with my friends during the college basketball tournament, I gave it a shot, and believe me, it's the real deal. And guess what? Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warm weather, so before you have those drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or go to your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Another pick this past year in 2024 was the 23rd pick plus a fifth rounder plus 2025 third and fourth rounders for the 17th pick in the draft. That was a Minnesota trade, if I remember correctly. So what that is the equivalent of is Green Bay giving up the 23rd pick this year, plus a fifth rounder this year, their fifth rounder, and third and fourth round picks next year to move up 6 spots to pick 17. Now, we can state the obvious right away. This is not a Goody type of trade, right? Giving up 4 picks for 1 pick and only moving up 6 spots in doing so, again, very anti-Goody in this situation. But theoretically, let's say we get to the point where you get to pick 16 and you've got 2 players left on your board that have first round grades. pick 16 goes, and now you're at pick 17, and there's only one player left with a first round grade, and maybe you do some calling, and this is the deal that Cincinnati says and that there's precedence for. All right, fifth rounder this year, third and fourth rounders next year, and you get up to pick 17. One of the things, and we can just have the discussion right now, there are a few of these trades that are out there. 17 is maybe a little bit more within the realm of possibility than maybe ones that are a little bit more aggressive. But the thing that I really struggle with is in moving up, especially like that high. If it's like a few picks ahead or whatever, again, you probably ran into a situation where there was just one guy left. Who are you aggressively going after at pick 17 in any sort of situation? Or if Green Bay even were to move up higher? That's what I kind of struggle with. Maybe they fall in love with Mykel Williams or Shamar Stewart. And maybe they just see him on the board at 17 and say, we don't want to risk this. We love the player and we want to go get them. That would make some sense. It's clearly not a quarterback or a running back or a tight end. I don't think they're going to move up for any offensive lineman. I would be pretty stunned at that. They're not going to move up. I'd be stunned if it was an off-ball linebacker. It's not going to be a safety. So wide receiver, defensive end, defensive tackle, or corner. All right, corner. Let's do that. Jahdae Barron? If Jahdae Barron falls to 17, would they make an aggressive move up in that situation? Maybe. That could be one. Will Johnson? I don't think so. I think they would wait out Will Johnson and see if he falls to pick 23 in that scenario. I don't think they would go that aggressive to move to 17 for Will Johnson. And there's no other corner that makes sense in that situation. So maybe Jahdae Barron. Defensive end, again, Mykel Williams, Shamar Stewart, I think would probably be the ones where they just fell in love with them and they felt like they had to have them. Or it's a wide receiver. And that the only one that kind of makes sense there is Tet McMillan. Like if you said that they moved up for a wide receiver, it's not going to be Burden. It's not going to be Igbuka. I would be surprised if it was Golden. I think it has to be that they legitimately like had Tet as like a top five, top eight guy on their board. Had just believe he's going to be a stud. He falls to 17 and Green Bay says, we're not going to wait anymore. This is a need. We feel like he adds a completely new element to our offense and we want to go get this guy. He's our guy. I think it might more lean towards that. Those would be the players that I think they would potentially trade up for. Anything else just doesn't seem super realistic. So maybe Jahdae Barron, Shamar Stewart, Mykel Williams, and Tet McMillan. But if they fall in love with one of them and they want to get up to 17, theoretically, a fifth this year, a third and fourth next year could get that done. The Bengals pick at pick 17. All right, another one this past year, the 24th pick plus a 2025 seventh rounder. So the 24th pick plus a future seventh, that one went to for the 29th pick, excuse me, and the 73rd pick. All right, so they moved down five spots, gave up a seventh, and picked up a third round pick, pick 73. There are two teams that you could kind of make a similar deal with this year. So if Green Bay picks at 23, again, one pick ahead of 24, so you can probably remove needing to give up the seventh rounder in that situation. So pick 23 to Philly for picks 32 and 64 is very similar value. So you get the end of the very last pick in the first round plus the very last pick in the second round for pick 23 in this scenario, or KC, very similar, picks 31 and 63 for pick 23. Very similar trade. So 29 and 73 last year, 32, 64, 31, 63, pretty similar. Green Bay might need to give a little bit something in that scenario as well, but you could theoretically look at those possibilities as well. So moving down end of the first, picking up an end of the second round pick in the process. That might be, by the way, This scenario right here might be the one that I like the most of all the picks or all the trades that we're going to discuss today. If Green Bay could move down, like again, let's assume that maybe the board just does not fall their way, right? If they could move down to the end of the first round, still get to make that first round pick in Green Bay to pick 31 or 32, and in the process, pick up a second round pick, that's enticing. Now you're still your first round pick. You've got two second round picks and a third round pick. Now you've got four top 100 guys. And that to me would be somewhat intriguing. Now, again, it takes two to tango. You do have to have KC or Philly be wanting to move up in this draft and be willing to give up a second round pick. There has to be the right player for them in that situation as well. But if that were available, and Green Bay did not like what was on the clock, that would be one that I think could make some sense for Green Bay. Let's go to 2023. The 24th pick was traded for the 25th pick, the 160th pick, and the 240th pick. So just moving one pick down. All right. Green Bay, theoretically, could do 23 to Houston for pick 25. So two spots down for pick 166 and 236. That's a fifth and a seventh. It's not like anything super crazy, but let's say they got on the clock, right, at pick 23, and Shamar Stewart, Mykel Williams, and Derek Harmon were all there, and they had the exact same grade on all three. And they could move down two spots with Houston. Houston moves up. They pick up a fifth and a seventh in the process, and they get still one of those guys for sure. Is it the biggest, swing in the history that you recoup a fifth and a seventh round pick or that you get those extra picks? No. But if you don't really have a preference between the three anyway, and you can pick up a couple of extra picks for basically nothing, you take it. So that would be one. Houston, again, trading pick 23 for pick 25, picking up pick 166 and 236. Again, Houston is with those picks. It's harder to move one spot back because Minnesota is at pick 24. It's a division trade. Plus, they have no picks. They only have four picks. So that's going to be a little bit tougher. Also last year, pick 25 went for pick 27 and 130. The Rams have pick 26 and 127. That could be one where, again, you trade pick 23 to the Rams for pick 26 and 127. You move down three spots. You pick up a fourth rounder in the process. All right, 2022, pick 23 went for pick 25 and 130. This is the same one that we just discussed. You trade to the Rams for pick 26 and pick 127. You move down three spots, pick up a fourth round pick. Same, very similar situation in 2022? Yeah. All right. So the next one in 2022 was pick 26 for picks 35, 69, and 163. All right. So you move down nine spots, you pick up a third round pick and a fifth round pick. Okay. Well, how about the Giants in that situation? The Giants have picked 34, 65, and 154, a very similar trade. So Green Bay moves down eight spots. They pick up a second round pick in the very first third round pick in that situation. So the very first pick of round three, and then a fifth round pick, pick 154. That's not terrible. You hate probably moving down to the beginning of round two, but picking up picks 65 and 154 isn't awful in that situation. Another one is pick 27 in that draft went for picks 33, 106, and 180. A similar situation here would be going to the Bills for pick 30, 109, and 177. So that would be moving down seven spots to Buffalo and picking up a very early fourth and the very first sixth round pick in the process. So move 23 to 30, pick up a fourth and a sixth in that sort of deal. Not bad, not bad. In 2021, you had a very interesting trade. You had pick 23 plus 66 plus 86 for number 14 and 143. So if you're somebody that's hoping that Green Bay could get very high up in the draft, this is what it would basically take. The Colts here are maybe one of the targets. It would take Green Bay's first, second, and third for the Colts pick 14 and pick 151. It's very similar to that deal that was done in 2021. So you give up your top three picks to move up to pick 14 and you pick up a fifth round pick in the process. The same thing with the Dolphins, same exact thing, pick 13, pick 150. That would be another one that they could look at in that situation. So you're giving up your first three picks to move up to pick 13 or 14 and pick up another fifth rounder at the back end of that. I will say it once again, I don't know who Green Bay would be targeting in that situation. Maybe, again, Mykel Williams or Shamar Stewart, and maybe just one of them are there and they feel like they need to go get him. Maybe Tet McMillan, maybe Jadai Barron. I struggle to see anyone else that they're moving up for in that situation. And I struggle to say that any of those guys are worth your first, second, and third round pick, even if you are recouping a fifth round pick in the back end of it. That's a tough sell for me. I would be out on this, but if you're somebody that's hoping that they could move up, that's what it would take to get to pick 13 or 14 is basically all three of your top picks. And then you get a fifth rounder. Woohoo. I'm out on that, but that's an interesting one that's out there. That was in 2021. In 2020, you had pick 23 go for pick 37 and 71. So pick 23 for 37 and 71. There are three trades here that could make sense. Pick 23 for 37 and 68, which is the Raiders. Pick 36 and 70, which is Jacksonville. And 37 and 69, which is New England. I think it was 38 and 69. Sorry about that. But yeah, those were the three trades that were there, either the Raiders, the Jaguars, or the Patriots. So basically what you're doing is moving down your first round pick, pick 23, to the beginning of the second round, and then picking up a beginning of the third round pick on it as well. So would you rather have a first round pick or an early second and an early third? That's basically your debate there. Another trade was pick 25 for picks 31, 117, and 176. There's a similar trade here with Buffalo. This is the same one that we talked about in 2022, by the way. It would be trading pick 23 to the Bills for pick 30, 109, and 177. So an early fourth and an early sixth for pick 23. In 2019, there were really no trades that were applicable. Same thing in 2018. In 2017, you had pick 25. This is a fun one. Pick 25 plus a future first round pick. All right. 25 plus a future first round pick for pick 12. So you want to get up to pick 12. You're trading away pick 23 plus a future first. All right. And you could probably get a little higher because that was pick 25. So maybe you could get to pick 11. The 49ers pick at pick 11. The Cowboys pick at 12. The Dolphins pick at 13. Theoretically, you probably should be able to get from 25 to around 11, 12, 13, maybe 10 by giving up your future first round pick. Don't see Goody doing that, but if you're somebody that wants to get up in that range, that would be what it would cost, theoretically, at least historically. Does Goody do that? No. Do I think there's anyone worth trading up your future first round pick for? No, but that'd be quite the splash move if Green Bay did it. Also in 2017, picks 27 for 31, 95, and 249. A very similar trade with the Chiefs here. Pick 23 for 31, 95, and 226. Again, not an ideal one, but if you don't really have anything that's there, you can move down eight spots, pick up a end of the third round pick plus a seventh round pick. There's worse trades to be done in the world, that is for sure. 2016, you had picks 26 for 31 and 94. That's the same thing as basically the 2017 trade that we just talked about. Then in 2015, there were no applicable trades. And then, like I said, I went back from 2014 to 1998 to see if there was anything else that made sense. There was one in 2006, pick 22 in that draft for picks 37 and 68. Just so happens that this year, the Raiders have picks 37 and 68. So Green Bay could move from pick 23 to the Raiders for picks 37 and 68. Which are second and third round picks, early second, early third for pick 23. We talked about a similar one like that a little bit earlier. Then in 2005, pick 23 for pick 26 and 105. There is a team, I forget which team it is, at pick 28 that also has pick 102. So 23 for pick 28, but you also get pick 102, actually the very last third round pick in this draft would be that trade. So that's another one that could potentially be out there. So to kind of recap what's out there, you could theoretically get as high as pick 11 or 12 by giving up a future first, or right around there as well by giving up your first, second, and third round picks to get up in that range. And you could probably go as low as about pick 42 by picking up a future second rounder by going down that far. My question, if you're moving up, is again, what are you going up for? Doesn't seem like the right draft to do it. Doesn't seem like there'd be the right situation to do it. But if you wanted to, there are some historical trades there that you could look at. And then again, how far would you be willing to trade down? My guess is they want to stay in the first round. And if I had to just be kind of crystal clear on this, the very likely trades that would take place are that if you want to move up like five, six, seven spots, you're probably talking about Green Bay's first plus their third to get up five, six, seven spots. If you want to move down five, six, seven spots, you're probably talking about going towards like the, you know, end of round one, picking up a third round pick. Okay. It's pretty simple, right? Move up five, six, seven spots, trade a third. Move down five, six, seven spots, get a third. You move up two to three spots, two, three, four spots, you get, you know, you're giving up a fourth. You move down two, three, four spots, you're picking up a fourth. In its simplest terms, that's probably what you're looking at here. But some historical trades certainly put that into perspective. Let's use the Rich Hill trade chart to kind of wrap things up here. If you want to just go by the Rich Hill chart, which I think is probably one of the better ones out there, picks, yeah, Green Bay's first and second round picks should theoretically get you to pick 12. Again, I think that's a little bit more theoretical than actual, but per the Rich Hill trade chart, their first two picks should get them as high as pick 12, maybe more like pick 13, 14, 15, but per the chart, it would get you to pick 12. Their first plus their third would get you to pick 17 to 18, somewhere in that range. Their first plus their fourth would get you to pick 20 to 21, just up a couple spots. All right. Pick 23 could theoretically get you pick 50, pick 52, 137, and 223 from the Seahawks. I saw some people say, how can we get those two Seahawks second round picks? Well, if Seattle was interested, you could theoretically get both of them plus some other stuff for pick 23. Again, this is via the Rich Hill trade chart. Pick 23 plus one pick, pick 159. Jeez. Pick 23 plus pick 159 for picks 34 and pick 65. Those are the Giants picks. So you're giving up your first round pick plus a fifth round pick for a early second and an early third. That's not terrible. If the Giants wanted to move up, you move to the very beginning of round two and you go from the fifth to the third in that situation. In fact, you're moving up, what? Let's see, 64 spots in that situation. Sorry, no, 94 spots in that situation. So 94 spots. Like, that's a pretty significant move from the fifth to the third. And then you're just going down 11 from the first to the second round. And that would be a trade with the Giants. Then there was also one that would make sense. Pick 23 plus 159. Again, your first and your fifth for picks 40, 71, and 93. So you get a second and two thirds in that situation for your first and your fifth round pick. Again, just options. Pick 54 plus 87, your second and third round picks, would get you theoretically to pick 39 to 40. Pick 54 plus your fourth round pick would get you theoretically to pick 47, up about seven spots. And then if you're looking to maybe trade down in the second round, your second round pick plus your fifth round pick would theoretically get you pick 65 plus pick 99 in this draft. And then a couple last ones. If you wanted to trade your third and your fourth, 87 and 124, that would theoretically get you up to pick 71 for the Rich Hill trade chart. So up about 16 picks in the third round. And then your fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks would theoretically get you to pick 98. So 124, 159, and 198 for pick 98. All depends on the board. All depends on what teams are willing to trade with you. But if you're looking for some trades either historically or via the Rich Hill trade chart that could make sense for Green Bay, that covers just about all of them. That's all I got for you. Let me know which ones that you'd be most interested in. Like I said, I think the ones where you're trading down maybe to the end of the first, that KC or Philly trade, where you trade down to the end of the first and pick up their end of the second round pick in that trade as well, that's probably the ones that I'd be most interested in. Again, if you're moving up a handful of spots, can give up a fourth round pick, that's good. If you move down a few spots, pick up a third or a fourth, I'm cool with that as well. Again, depending on the board. But I think for the most part, again, you're probably making a small swing a little bit one way or the other, but probably staying in that range. But there should be some options out there, especially in this draft where I think, you know, teams might be, you know, willing to maneuver around a little bit because there's so many guys clustered together. Could be an interesting opportunity for Goody to move up or down that draft board, depending on what's available there at pick 23. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Be right back tomorrow with an all-new episode. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle Sinkle, and Jen Wright. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.